Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with The Age of Ignorance, the title of an article in the New York Review of Books by Charles Simich, the 15th Poet Laureate of the United States. We discuss his 40-year experience in teaching college students, where he finds that students coming out of high school know less and less every year. Then we'll be joined by a former Secretary of the Air Force who headed the super-secret National Reconnaissance Office and was a special assistant to President Reagan for national security policy. A former nuclear weapons designer, Thomas Reed, will discuss his new book, Tehran Triangle, and the extent and nature of Iran's secret nuclear weapons program. Then, finally, we will speak with John Schenck, the filmmaker of a new feature documentary, The Island President, that closely followed Mohamed Nasheed's first year as president of the Maldives, an island nation gradually being swallowed by the Indian Ocean due to the effects of global warming. We will discuss this heroic man's effort to save his country and alert the world to the peril of climate change. Joining us now is Charles Simich, a poet, essayist, and professor emeritus of American literature and creative writing at the University of New Hampshire. He has published some 20 collections of poetry, 6 books of essays, a memoir, and numerous translations. Charles Simich is the recipient of many awards, including the Pulitzer Prize, the Griffin Prize, and the MacArthur Fellowship. And in 2007, he was appointed the 15th Poet Laureate of the United States. His most recent works are Voice at 3 a.m., Master of Disguise, and Confession of a Poet Laureate. And he has an article in the New York Review of Books, Age of Ignorance. Welcome to Background Briefing, Charles Simich.
Nice to be there.
So your article, Age of Ignorance, is, of course, accompanied in the New York Review of Books by a photograph of Sarah Palin appearing with Sean Hannity at the Iowa State Fair. And just yesterday, Sarah Palin hosted the Today Show on NBC, up against Katie Couric on the Rival Network, and we know about their past. Are ignoramuses being anointed now with mainstream respectability in the United States?
Oh, I think so. I mean, the less you know, the sky's the limit. You can go, you can go all the way to the presidency. This is definitely the trend, the new trend.
So do you think that John McCain opened that door? And is there a historic landmark here in terms of, my understanding is from going back to the founding fathers of this country, who were a pretty exceptional bunch of people, many of them were quite intellectual. And it seems to me that there's been a sea change here where people now have permission to vote for people who are just like them, as opposed to vote for people who are better educated and more qualified than they are.
Well, I agree completely. Although, I mean, as you know, we have had presidents who were sort of boobs. You know, Harding was not too smart, and Cal Coolidge likewise, and. In the 19th century, too, there was some, you know, there was some, you know, fairly mediocre, you know, presidents. But this is something new. I mean, what was amazing about, Sarah Palin and she, I mean, I had students like that. I mean, I met people like that. I mean, people who not only don't know anything, but they have no desire to find out. And what surprised me was that she, you know, even given the opportunity, you know, to be, you know, run on a ticket like that, you would think that she would make an effort to learn a few things. But as, you know, the people who were handlers, her handlers and so forth, in the, you know, after she was nominated, I mean, they realized that she had no desire whatsoever to, you know, curiosity to, you know, to find out about certain things. I mean, there's just some, you know, stuff that, you know, a lot of people who, you know, pay attention to the news or who, you know, read the papers or whatnot to watch, you know.
Well, what explains that, though, Charles Simich, that here you are, heartbeat away from an elderly president, assuming that McCain had won, and that you have no interest in learning about the real world? What explains that kind of hubris.
I mean, that kind of hubris exists. What is more interesting, what's incomprehensible? First of all, that she gets elected for governor of a state. Then that she is brought in to be a vice president. And then that you have all these people who continue to admire her. I mean, you know, I've had, and anybody who's taught school, I mean, has had students who are just not very bright, and there's nothing you can do about them. They're mentally lazy, or they're not pretty bright, whatever it is. And you know, no subject, no teacher can shift them from that, you know, that kind of state of mind. And so that's all, you know, that's the way it goes. I mean, that's, you know, it's, they're a small number, you know, in any classroom, and it was teaching experience, but they exist. But I, being, you know, foolish, you know, at the age of 74, and, you know, I kind of expected the people to be appalled by her, you know, by her ignorance. I mean, I don't want to have somebody who potentially has power over me who knows nothing. I mean, it's like, you know, going to see a doctor and not caring at all if this doctor, you know how to hold a stethoscope or whatever, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's sort of mad. It's nuts. I mean, I was frightened. I was just, I mean, how can you, you know, the people, I was frightened by the people, I should say, who were, you know, cheering for her.
The real Americans, right?
Struck me as being you.
The real Americans.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what she calls them. I mean, you know, I mean, we always had people, right, you know, kind of, I mean, I talk about that. I mean, we always had people in this country who were ignorant, but I mean, who knew nothing, but, you know, they were not asked for their opinion. They were not regarded as the ones who, you know, who have the truth, who have a real understanding, who are closer to reality than the rest of us. And that has changed. I mean, this sort of admiration of you know, of ignorance, of not knowing anything, as if knowledge is dangerous and subversive, and you know, knowing just the most basic facts about American history, or about, you know, just the way the country is run, or what happens, you know, in our foreign policy and so forth and so on. I mean, all this has become suspicious. I mean, knowledge has become suspicious. And the interesting thing to me, you know, in a comment section, you know, this is actually a blog that I wrote, not an article, but a blog. And, you know, there were, like, I think as of yesterday, 265 comments. And, and you know, comments, all sorts of, you know, pro, against, I mean, in between, and so forth and so on. And I noticed that the people who completely agreed with me were people who taught school. I mean, either they taught high school or, you know, college or even grade school. They knew exactly what I was talking about, this tremendous shift, this sort of difference, how much less, you know, not just students know, but even their parents.
Well, that's the point that you make in your article, or your blog, I should say, Charles Simich, Age of Ignorance, in the New York Review of Books. You say that you've taught college for over 40 years, and that the kids that are coming in every year seem to be dumber and dumber.
Well, I don't I wouldn't say dumber. They're just more ignorant.
Ignorant.
They're as nice as kids as ever, perhaps even nicer. I mean, they're sort of, this is what breaks your heart. I mean, they're sort of children, you know, you wouldn't mind having as your own children, be part of your family. It's not their fault. I mean, you know, it's our system or whatever. You know, they got screwed along the way. I mean, there were comments, people saying, well, you know, maybe we need some new way of, you know, teaching them some new way to, you know, approach them and this and that. Well, you know, that's nice to say, but what are you going to do with, you know, with students who do not know what comes first, Second War or Vietnam War, who do not know that England is an island?
Sure.
Well, you know, I mean, there are like about 100 other things. I mean, that, you know, my colleagues and I used to sit around and just, you know, people would repeat this incredible story. You hear them, you just almost don't believe. But I don't think it's their fault. I mean, it's the fault of, you know, forces outside of them. I mean, they're just, you know, just the consequences of you know, the kind of education they get in high schools, and you know, there they are. I mean, they're handicapped, really.
But we have politicians today running to become president of the United States who are celebrating that kind of ignorance. I mean, and castigating this mythical educated liberal elite. Rick Santorum called the president an elitist
and a snob.
And a snob because he says he wants people to go to college.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the education used to be respected. But look at the way teachers, I mean, you know, high school teacher and grade school teachers have become the great enemy, you know. One of the comments on the blog, one fellow says, he says, Mr. Smith forgets, you know, what the unions have done to, you know, to teaching in this country. The notion that, you know, the unions were responsible for the change in the curriculum and the teachers. And then there's this sort of myth that teachers make a lot of money, they don't do any work, they're lazy, they're incompetent, and so forth and so on. So, I mean, I cannot think of if there's another country in the world where teachers are the enemy, education is the enemy. I go on and say, you know, if you want to, you know, if you have a country where the political system is pretty much broken, it's corrupt, broken, an educated population is will be a danger. To that system. I mean, how could you, you know, sure, continue to run it the same way, get away with the kind of, you know, small and big crimes, or, you know, if you had a alert, well-informed, you know, voters, a population. So that also has been one of the reasons, I mean, why the spread of ignorance. The spread of ignorance is intentionally spread. I mean, there's a lot of lying, a lot of propaganda. I mean, if you turn on television and you watch political, you know, advertisements, I mean, you know, most of it is, you know, just lies. It's not...
Sure. Well, you know, the first campaign commercial that Mitt Romney made completely distorts what Obama is saying. Obama was quoting John McCain.
Of course. It makes no difference. You know, yeah, lies work. I mean, they know that lies work. People don't...
Right. But they're not sanctioned
sufficiently. They will not...
But the society
really
doesn't...
Right. So, you know, it's... again, to come back to these poor students, I mean, the students are really just a reflection of this larger problem.
Well, you could probably make the case. I mean, my problem with Romney is that the society doesn't seem to sanction this kind of flagrant and cynical lying. But you could make the case that the Republicans have made a wise investment in ignorance.
Well, they have.
I'll read you a list in your article, just to give the audience an exempt. This is from Charles Simich's blog in the New York Review of Books, Age of Ignorance. Christians are persecuted in this country. The government is coming to get your guns. Obama is a Muslim. Global warming is a hoax. The president is forcing open homosexuality in the military. Schools push left-wing agenda. Social Security is an entitlement, no different from welfare. Obama hates white people. Life on Earth is 10,000 years old, and so is the universe. The safety net contributes to poverty. The government is taking money from you and giving it to sex-crazed college women to pay for their birth control. I mean, you know, this is that's a digest of what's been going on in cable news for the last month.
You know, it took me, you know, all of like 60 seconds to think of all of those. Yeah. I mean, there was no mental effort, because you know, one could list another 50, you know, sure, idiocies, you know, and but it is incredible. I mean, it's just, it's, I mean, when you realize, and you know, this is not, of course, the first election when I realized this, but I think this last set of Republican primaries, starting with the one that we had in New Hampshire here in January. And, I've always been interested in politics, and I pay attention. And I have, as I say, I wrote another piece for the New York Review of Books about the New Hampshire primary. I don't have a set left and right opinions. I mean, I'm perfectly happy to listen to a Republican if he or she makes sense. But what struck me, listening to various, candidates, including obviously Santorum, who was booed actually in a couple of occasions here in New Hampshire by students. Almost everything they said, Romney, Gingrich, even Ron Paul, except for foreign policy, it was utter nonsense. Mm. Take Ron Paul. What he proposes about to do in this country basically is to abolish the government, to return everything to the states. Now, without thinking through the consequences of something like that.
Right.
The union would break up because the enlightened states would continue to try to have some sort of enlightened existence for most of their citizens. Others wouldn't. There'll be movement of a population. The states would have to raise their own armies to protect their borders, and on and on and on. It's like madness. Not craziness.
I'm afraid we've pretty much run out of time here. Sorry to tell you, Charles Simich, but just to depress you further, I host the UCLA Hammer Forum, which is a public forum where we get speakers to come out and talk about important social and political issues. And I had two operatives who've run campaigns for Democratic presidents and Republican presidents, including the John McCain campaign. And one of the things that both of these said was that the way that politics work in this country in terms of campaigns is that almost all of the money that they raise, and they sell their souls to raise billions and billions of dollars from special interests and now from billionaire super PACs, and most of this money is spent on the media, but they don't spend it across the country. They only spend it on a few states, a handful of states, the so-called swing states. So they ignore the rest of the country. And then as you get close to the elections in October, they then spend all of their money on the 3-6% who are uncommitted and unconvinced. And they both said that the research on that 3-6% who are the deciding vote in deciding our political future is they are the stupidest, the least informed, the least intellectually curious. And by late October, if you haven't made up your mind about the election, you really are, an idiot. And that group are the swing voters that decide our political fate.
I mean, that really is a terrifying vision. I mean, there's an element of a part of the people who have figured this out. There's an element of, both intellectual brilliance and at the same time sheer evil. Total indifference to what happens to the country. The consequences of something like that. And the only way that can be reversed, if I can just briefly say, would be to make this, at least Democrats or somebody, I don't think Democrats are probably eager to do this either, but to point this out. I mean, this needs to, come out in the open. And so at least, we know how the game is played.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Charles.
Well, listen, thank you very much.
Again, Charles Simich is a poet, essayist, and professor emeritus of American literature and creative writing at the University of New Hampshire. He has published some 20 collections of poetry, 6 books of essays, a memoir, and numerous translations. Charles Simich is the recipient of many awards, including the Pulitzer Prize, the Griffin Prize, and the MacArthur Fellowship. And in 2007, he was appointed the 15th Poet Laureate of the United States. His most recent works are Voice at 3 a.m., Master of Disguise, and Confessions of a Poet Laureate. And he has an article or a blog at the New York Review of Books, Age of Ignorance. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with a former Secretary of the Air Force and Special Assistant to President Reagan for National Security.
someone.